Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good afternoon and welcome to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am Tom Ernesty. I'm going to be doing today's show. Mike's voice needs a break. He's done a great job with the recent interviews as well as doing these daily podcasts to bring you all the latest in Miami Dolphins news. Today is Thursday, March 29th, and we are recording live from the DolphinsTalk.com studio. Not much in regards of big news today regarding the Miami Dolphins, but there are some great articles that came out today and a lot of opinions regarding the Miami Dolphins. We're going to start with our first topic today, and it's DeVante Parker. It is well documented on this show that Mike, our host of DolphinsTalk.com Daily, is not a big fan of DeVante Parker. I am kind of a critic about DeVante Parker and his development in his first few seasons in the NFL. Big article today from Adam Beasley regarding DeVante Parker. And DeVante Parker today threw a little shade at his critics on social media, on Twitter. He said, "The less you care about what people think about you, the more successful you'll be." Yeah, I mean, that is a very true statement. You know, DeVante Parker came out in he was a 14th pick in the draft a few years back, and you know, every single year we've been saying this is the year DeVante Parker is going to finally shine. This is the year he's going to have a breakout season. Myself last year and a lot of other people on DolphinsTalk.com as well as the national media believe that DeVante Parker was going to explode with Jay Cutler, and unfortunately with the implosion of Jay Cutler, so did DeVante Parker. And again, he did miss some time, miss some practices as well as a couple games due to a nagging ankle and knee injury that sidelined him for a few games. And it's been kind of the same model for him going forward throughout his entire career, which is this kid has all the talent in the world, and we see it on, you know, from time to time in games. That big catch against Oakland late in the game when he went up and caught it on the sideline and getting both feet down, it was one play that rang the bell. But for the Dolphins, you know, in this situation, you know, DeVante Parker throwing shade at his critics is one thing, but the swagger that he portrays in practice, he is a very good practicer when he is healthy. But when he gets to game days, it seems like he shells up, and he's just a shell of who he is on the practice field, and that is something that hopefully they get on Sundays in this season. And Adam Beasley wrote that, you know, technically it is his final season because the Dolphins do own his rights through 2019 if they pick up the fifth-year option. Excuse me, with DeVante Parker. So that leads to this question. If DeVante Parker explodes and has a good season, and a good season in my eyes is, you know, 65 catches, near 1,000 yards, and maybe 5 to 7 touchdowns, that's a productive season. But is it worth the Dolphins to pick up a $9 million option on DeVante Parker in May? That's when really D-Day is with the decision with him. Is it worth the Miami Dolphins to pick up that contract? Right now, it's absolutely not. Kenny Stills has been a very productive receiver since he's been in Miami. We have Danny Amendola, who's a proven wide receiver. Albert Wilson, who is a up-and-coming wide receiver. We'll see what kind of development he has this year with the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill. And we have Jakeem Grant, who came on real strong late last year and should be a part of this offense a little bit more. So, is wide receiver an absolute need right now? The answer is no. Do I see the Dolphins maybe going for a wide receiver in the mid to late rounds in the draft? Yeah, that's a strong possibility to potentially see that. But it's not a given. You know, they can always go for wide receiver next year, depending on what happens with DeVante Parker. But $9 million is a lot of money, and it is guaranteed only in the case of injury. And with this guy getting injured a lot, that's $9 million that can go in his pocket if he does become injured. So it's going to be kind of a cat and mouse game. It's going to be, let's see what happens with Devontae Parker in the upcoming season. You know, in his career, he has 139 catches, 1,908 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That sounds like 2 very productive seasons for a first-round wide receiver in the NFL. But in this case, for Parker, this is his 4th season coming in, and he just has not shown it, and the team is up in arms, and they don't understand what could potentially change with Parker, but he's got to get to work. And in the article with Adam Beasley, he did say, and this is quoted from Adam Gase, says, "I feel we know what he can do in our building. I don't think there's any question about what anybody feels of what he can do. I don't even think it's a potential thing. I think it's a health thing. It's just about how are we going to keep him healthy. I think that's when we get our best Devontae Parker." Well, they got 16 games out of Mike Pouncey and his gimpy hips last year with a particular practice regimen. That's something that, in my honest opinion, based on what Gase said in this article, that's going to happen. I believe that Devontae Parker is going to have less of a practice workload to make sure he is good to go on Sundays. Now, what happens in the game on Sundays is a different thing. Does he get hurt and then he misses practice? Then he's questionable for the game on the following Sunday, or doubtful, or maybe even out. So there's a lot that's got to happen with Devontae Parker, and this is one big season for him. And I think even with a very good season, I think the team will be very hesitant to give him $9 million by picking up his 5th-year option, unless he absolutely explodes for like 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. I just don't see that happening with all the different guys and pieces that they have in the wide receiver locker room. There's going to be a lot of footballs thrown around, and it's not just going to be to one player like it was for many years with Jarvis Landry. Mock drafts. I love mock drafts. I'm a huge fan of mock drafts. I do a lot of mock drafts on the website. We've got some great writers who are doing also mock drafts on our website. Take a look. Brett Legassi is doing a great job. The big wig, literally wig, Mel Kiper Jr.'s 3rd mock draft has come out today. And surprisingly, he has the Miami Dolphins not selecting an outside linebacker, not selecting an offensive guard, not selecting a quarterback, not selecting a defensive tackle. They have him drafting a safety. That safety is Derwin James. Kiper has him selected to the Miami Dolphins at number 11 in his latest mock draft. With that mock draft, other players that were still on the board for Kiper in his mock draft was Virginia Tech linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, as well as Washington State defensive tackle Vita Vea. Kiper, I mean, ESPN gives me enough of agita when they write articles about the Miami Dolphins, but this mock draft for the Dolphins to take Derwin James at 11, hell, he's a great football player. He's a great football player, but I think if you have a Tremaine Edmonds or Vita Vea on the board, you cannot pass on that kind of talent. Granted, Derwin James could bring a lot to the safety position in the NFL, and he would be playing free safety. Strong safety is occupied by Rashad Jones, and now you're thinking, well, what do we do with TJ McDonald at that point? Well, there are few, and I believe that he could be a hybrid linebacker slash defensive back where they can put him on the field in certain situations, because TJ McDonald does play well against the run. He could be used as a hybrid. But Derwin James was the selection, even though those other players are on the board. And Kuiper's assessment here says that James is in the back, is back in the discussion of the top 10 after he ran a 4.47 40-yard dash and showed off a 40-inch vertical at the combine. He has rare athleticism for a 6'2 safety, though his 27 tape was inconsistent after he returned from a knee injury that caused him to miss most of the previous season. At his best, James is an enforcer in the mold of Cam Chancellor. He's not afraid to bring the wood. He can be a versatile defender who plays in the box and also covers the deep middle of the field. The Dolphins have arguably lost more talent this offseason than any other team, and they have needs all across their roster. Adam Gase did say that he was not thrilled with the play of safety when T.J. McDonald came back. He expected a lot more from that group. Rashad Jones had a great football season. He was back to his normal self even after losing him the previous season to an injury. He looked fantastic last year, over 100 tackles. He had a touchdown, had a couple picks. He did a great job coming back in. But him and T.J. McDonald didn't seem to mesh very well. And there was a lot of miscommunication in the back end between Rashad Jones and T.J. McDonald, particularly on long pass plays, and a lot of big plays were given up by the defense. Can Derwin James solve that issue? I believe he can. But it also comes back to the point, do you select Derwin James if you have a Roquan Smith, in this case, Tremaine Edmonds or Vita Vea on the board? It's hard to say. It really is. And I've been a big believer, and I've been preaching on Twitter since the Rose Bowl that I want Baker Mayfield to be a Miami Dolphin. If he's available at 11, that will be very telling. But there is a chance that, you know, the Dolphins will have to look another direction, not quarterback, if one of the top four quarterbacks do not fall in their lap at 11, because I don't believe the Dolphins will be trading up in any scenario. Safety position has to get better. You know, there's been a lot of roster changes. One of the positions that need to get better is safety. You know, Rashad Jones is a workout machine. He's in the gym constantly. He's making himself better. T.J. McDonald also, I believe, is going to be doing the same kind of regimen as Rashad Jones. If they do not go safety in this draft, whether it's Derwin James in round one, maybe Eric Reed potentially in round two if he's still on the board as one of the better free safeties in the draft, it's very hard to tell where the Dolphins are going to go. But safety has to be addressed, and T.J. McDonald has to learn another position if they do not address it early in the draft. They have to get better on the back end. Communication is key in the defensive backfield. If you lose your man, the other guy's got to pick it up. But if the other guy back there has another job he has to do, he can't get over there quick enough, and then that's where the big plays come in. So mock drafts are not very telling about what the team's thought process is going into the draft, but we do know that the Miami Dolphins' biggest thing they have to do is get better and get better at key positions. Defensive tackle, linebacker, safety, offensive line is still a question mark. We had some great acquisitions in the offseason, but there's a chance that we need to draft some young up-and-coming guards that can learn from Josh Sitton. I mean, Josh Sitton is the best guy in the room right now. He's got a lot of leadership. He can help develop these guards and give them the things that he has done throughout his phenomenal professional career. And I think it's important for the Dolphins to look at the guard position still in the draft, or even tackle for that matter. But there are some glaring holes on this team, and not to mention running back as well. So there's a lot that has to happen. Free agency is really slowed down. The first wave of free agency is done. The second wave of free agency typically picks up after the draft. And with the Dolphins only with less than $6 million in salary cap, it's hard to believe that the Dolphins will address anything until after the draft is over to see what holes are still left with this team. Another article today from Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel. It was a very well written article in regards of the Dolphins and avoiding the state of dysfunction. They cannot return to the state of dysfunction, and Kelly goes into detail about what he means there. He mentioned that, you know, the goal this year, every team's goal is really the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust, right? But the Miami Dolphins have to build something. They have to build something better than what it has been. The 10-6 season was something to build on, but then when you lose your starting quarterback and you have to go to Bum Jay Cutler, the season fell apart before it even began, and the writing was on the wall for the 2017 Miami Dolphins season. I was highly optimistic. A lot of people were that the Dolphins still would carry some momentum. That wasn't the case. The team really missed Ryan Tannehill. And there was a dysfunctional group last year, and the dysfunction led to a lot of guys leaving the locker room. And we're talking about Jarvis Landry, Ndamukong Suh, Mike Pouncey. These guys are core players of this football team. Lawrence Timmons was a part of that group last year. The guy went AWOL and immediately lost credibility in the locker room. And there was a lot of me, me, me. And the Miami Dolphins and Adam Gase said, that's enough of the me, me, me. Let's get to a team element. And let's get the bad people out of the locker room. And let's develop the proper culture that's needed to win. And that's where it all started for the Dolphins. And, you know, the franchise is trying to avoid that state of dysfunction, is what Omar Kelly said. And a storm is brewing, which is usually the case when adversity hits. You know, the Dolphins need to figure out where things went wrong last year. And I believe that they found that out with, again, purging the locker room. But at the same time, bringing in core guys and guys that can lead. Josh Sitton, Frank Gore, Danny Amendola. I mean, those are guys that are going to come in and lead with the locker room. And they're not going to take what Adam Gase said yesterday, enough of the bullshit happening in the locker room. And there is definitely a case, and it seems like that's the sentiment that's coming from Adam Gase. The season, there was a lot of hope, a lot of upside last year. There's a lot of hope, and you know, the question mark on the upside going into the 2018 season. We got our quarterback back, but we just don't have it right now. And it's kind of like a wait and see approach, because unfortunately we're in the dog days of winter and spring. And once we get into mid-April, when the teams can report for OTAs, it's going to be more exciting, because we're going to start seeing some videos of Ryan Tannehill moving around, throwing a football. We're going to see Danny Amendola on the field. We're going to see Daniel Kilgore and Josh Sitton on the field. There's going to be a lot of new elements that kind of get the team excited. And then once the draft comes, if the Dolphins hit home runs in the draft and fill some holes, because unfortunately we can't go best player available, we have to go with the need right now. The need is at, we know it all, linebacker, safety, tight end. There's a lot of holes that got to get filled, and they have to hit a home run on every single pick in this draft. You know, if the top four guys in regards to quarterback are not on the board at 11, and you lost your opportunity to draft Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith, why not? Why not trade back in round one and pick up some extra picks, particularly maybe round two and an extra third this year? If you move back, you know, even 10 spots in the first round, pick up some extra picks, get some very talented football players on the football team. I don't believe this is going to be the case that the Dolphins decide to do this. But that's got to be on the table. That's got to be in the minds of the front office as well as Adam Gase, to make sure that they fill the gaps. And they have to fill the gaps through the draft right now, because the cash isn't available to June 1st. And I believe they're going to look at carrying over a lot of that money into the 2019 offseason, where the Dolphins are projected to have at least $40 million a cap before they make any sort of moves going forward. So there's a lot that is that's going to transpire. But back to Omar Kelly's article about not returning to the state of dysfunction. Let's go back into the 2011 Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of dysfunction there. That the, you know, the beginning of the season, the Dolphins flirted with Jim Harbaugh before he took the job at Michigan, and Tony Sperano was still there. Dysfunction. Why are you interviewing somebody and still have somebody in place? You just don't do that. I mean, I know in the normal day of any job, you interview for a job, you get hired, and you have to keep quiet about it because the other person is still in position of working at that certain place, and you can't do that. So that started the dysfunction with the Miami Dolphins. Then you bring in Joe Philbin and then Ryan Tannehill at the same time, and Philbin was an absolute mess. He just could not lead. his football team. And, you know, with the Hard Knocks in 2012, kind of opened a lot of eyes to kind of like the background of the team and what kind of coach Joe Philbin was. And the team just was not responding. And, of course, dysfunction. Joe Philbin gets fired. And then we bring in Adam Gase, and this dysfunction's gone for one season. And then they were not prepared for anything regarding any injury to the quarterback that happened, and dysfunction. Team fell apart. So I 100% agree that the team cannot return to the state of dysfunction. They have to learn from their mistakes. Their biggest mistake last year was not having a backup plan. They have not developed a quarterback behind Ryan Tannehill, and that's why I'm a firm believer that if there's a quarterback at 11, they go quarterback, because they want to develop a highly talented football player and to be ready to potentially take over the football team next season if the Dolphins can find a trade partner for Ryan Tannehill. If he plays very well, and the team goes 10-6, 11-5, and it makes the playoffs, Tannehill's here next year. You don't move on from something like that. Although the Chiefs did that with Alex Smith, but they were able to pick up some draft picks in the process and go with Patrick Mahomes and get some talented players in the offseason. I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to be like the Chiefs and do something like that, but that's got to be the thought process, especially if you take a quarterback early in the early rounds of the draft. You can't have that kid sitting there forever, but at the same time, if you have a successful quarterback, you want to continue to mold and build off success. And that's what the Dolphins did in 16. They were building off the success of Ryan Tannehill in Adam Gase's system. And again, we know what happened in 17, so it's a big decision coming forward for the Dolphins. Brock Osweiler is a placeholder. He's a clipboard guy. He's not going to be challenging anybody for a future starting job in Miami anytime soon. He's there as an emergency, and he's also young. He's not Matt Moore. And thankfully, Matt Moore is moving on from Miami, as well as potentially Brandon Doty. We have David Fales in the locker room right now. I believe he'll be the fourth quarterback on the roster come springtime. I believe there will be a rookie coming in. I just don't know when or who. At this point, none of us really do. If the Dolphins are to be successful in 2018, the way they have to do it is taking the mindset. The alpha dog is what Adam Gase said in his interview at the meetings down in the Bahamas. And the alpha dogs have to be the guys in the locker room. If you see someone messing around, get on their case. Get on their case. And if they don't get on their case, it's just going to be the same old, same old. You know, and I believe that's why the direction of the team went where it was going to go. There is a lot of opportunity and a lot to prove for Adam Gase and for this front office. Really, this is it. Stephen Ross is getting tired of losing. Folks, the guy's owned the team since 2008, and unfortunately there has been two winning seasons in his tenure in Miami. So he's getting tired of it, and I think everybody else, including the fans, I know us on the podcast, are getting continuously frustrated with the records and how this team is playing every single year. But be rest assured that this is going to be the make or break season for Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, as well as Adam Gase. I don't believe if this team falls apart and goes 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, I don't believe any of them keep their jobs. I really don't. But, you know, this is the offseason. This is the end of March. We're getting into April. We got a couple weeks before the guys get into the building and start doing some OTAs. The draft is less than a month away. That's a very exciting time for myself, and I know a lot of fans out there love the NFL draft and love the shine that it brings to all the new players coming into the NFL. It's like a shiny new toy you get on Christmas morning. Everybody's going to be excited with the potential of whoever they draft, but they just got to make the right decision and the right call. Avoid the dysfunction. You got the bad out of the locker room. Let's build with the guys that we have in the locker room. They added a lot of strong veterans. It's still a young team. I don't care what anybody says, ESPN power rankings, whatever. You bring in guys that are 31, 32, and 34. and you're bringing a young kid like Albert Wilson, who's 20, I believe 25, 26. It's not about the age of the player. It's about what they bring to the locker room. Sitton is still a highly productive player. Frank Gore at 34 is still better than most of the running backs in the NFL, for crying out loud. And Danny Amendola had produced a 1,000-yard season last year with Edelman out and being a very reliable target for Tom Brady. There's a lot to love about all the moves. There's a lot to like. And there's going to be a lot more to talk about. And unfortunately, there's not much more news. That was my rant for today. I appreciate everybody listening in. We're going to cut the show short today just because there's not much more to talk about. But we will have more news for you on DolphinsTalk.com daily as we proceed into the weekend, as well as the NFL draft and OTAs that come before the draft. So very exciting time. We're almost back to football. Almost back to getting some more news and things like that. But if there's any news that breaks, please be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com daily. We will record if there is any breaking news regarding the Miami Dolphins. Also, check out DolphinsTalk.com every single day for all your Miami Dolphins news. There's been a lot of great articles and a lot of great opinions that have been going up on the website. Charles Harris, you know, there's a great video of Charles Harris surprising his mom with a brand new car. In addition to that, we've had some great interviews. We just had Andy Cohen from MiamiDolphins.com with Mike last night. If you haven't checked out that podcast yesterday, be sure to listen to that. And another great article from Ryan Vanhoover, what to make of the Dolphins offseason so far. So please go to DolphinsTalk.com, check out these great articles that are being posted every single day. I am Tom Ernesty. You can follow me on Twitter at TErnesty13. That's TErnesty13. Be sure again to check out at Dolphins Talk on Twitter as well. And again, check out the website. We'd like to thank all of our friends across social media platforms. Jeff Fox from the Jeff Fox Show down in Miami. Big shout out to him. I'm on his show once every couple of weeks to talk Miami Dolphins, as well as all of our friends that help us get our podcast out. I am out. Thank you for listening to the show. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.